Well, good morning, church. Welcome once again, and also to those who are joining us over the internet, welcome. I'm very excited this morning to share more with you. Oh, I think I'm on the wrong page. Hang on. No, got the right sermon in front of me. I just looked down and thought, that doesn't look like what I wrote yesterday. I'm very excited to share the sermon that God has laid on my heart this morning. The goodness of God. How many of us ever get tired of hearing about God's goodness? I don't know about you, but I don't. And it should never, ever grow old for us to hear about God's goodness. It should always be fresh, and we should be anticipating and excited about hearing more and more about the goodness of God, right? And it should just get better and better and better. The more we hear, the better it gets. Amen? Amen. Well, today we're actually on the third week of our study on a very touchy subject that I kind of didn't want to teach on, and I really, really felt the Lord was leading me in that direction. But it's a very touchy subject in the body of Christ, and I'm just going to just do it. I'm just going to be obedient and just share what the Lord is laying on my heart about this. And this subject, as we know, for the ones that have been here in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about physical healing in the body of Christ. Clearing up some things that you might have believed or thought, and maybe adding some things to your heart that you didn't know about physical healing. And this is a very touchy subject. I said that it was because the body of Christ in general, now I'm speaking of worldwide, I'm not talking about us here as a church, but in general, all of the believers in Christ do not agree with one another on this subject. There's a lot of, well, this is the way we believe it, and this is the way we believe it, and, you know, so you kind of stay away from that area. It's like politics. Don't speak politics. You know, no, but you know what? I don't know. I just really feel like for you and I, at least me, I want to know what I believe, and I want to know why I believe it, okay? And so I think it's important. Why are we skirting around this issue? It's a big thing. This isn't just a minor little thing that we can push under the carpet and say, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. You know, if you are sick, you know, you will live a miserable life. There are many people that are suffering with things that are almost, to our minds, unbearable, mind-boggling. And so it's something that we need to address. It's something we need to realize that if it's important to God, which we proved the first Sunday that it is, then it should be as equally important to each and every one of us. But the reason we, I believe, in general as a church, do not come to agreement on this one subject is because we are interpreting from God's word the truth about physical healing on our experiences or the experiences of others in order for us to see the truth about how God sees healing and what part of healing plays in the church. We're not going to the Word of God to learn the truth about physical healing. We're looking around at other people. Other people, and I'm not talking about people in the world, I'm talking about believers, and they're sick. Remember I said last week, all of us, most of us are walking around with something in our bodies that we should not have. And so this is something that I've been trying to address, and I'm going slowly, and I may be stepping on some toes, burning some sacred cows, but that's okay. I can do that when I'm standing up here. Oh. In other words, healing of the physical body cannot be a sure thing because of what you see. I'm talking about people going by experiences. We believe in most cases that, well, it can't be a sure thing every time, because then why are so many people sick? Why are so many people dying? And so we settle. We just think, no, it just can't be, because we're looking around at what we see rather than at what God's word tells us is the truth. And that's what we're doing here. We're digging for the truth. But touchy or not, I think we must go on with what God has laid on my heart, because I believe, and I believe this with every fiber of my being, that God wants his children well. completely well, even as you want your children well. I don't know. Anybody here want their kids sick? Any parent here feels joy when their children are sick or in pain? No. No, if it was up to us, we'd eliminate all pain, all sickness from the lives of our children. And the Bible says if we, being in the flesh evil, know how to love and be good to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father in heaven wants is good to us. Amen. So the first week, okay, we're just going to reiterate where we went. So for those who weren't here, so we can bring us up to where we're going to go today. First week, we spent some time and we saw from God's word that it is always, number one, you got to know this. It is always, 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 always God's will that all of us be completely whole, healed as well as we possibly could be. The Bible says peace. It means to be whole in body, in mind, and in spirit, and in estate. That's talking about your physical life. That's talking about your home. He doesn't want you living in a home where you've got, you know, the pipes are falling down out of the walls. God cares about your entire life. And that's God's will for you. And we kind of showed that through the scriptures. We also saw the first week where disease and sickness came from. In order to get to the root of it, in order to understand it all, we need to find out where did it come from in the first place. God never created Adam and Eve with sickness in their body. He never created anything that was not perfect. He created two perfect beings that lived in a perfect world. Wow. Can you imagine? But after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, guess what happened? It all came under the curse. What was that curse? The curse of death. Now, is that curse still in operation today? Yes, it is. The Bible tells us that the price that sin demands of you is death. We saw from that first week that sickness and disease came in through sin, came into the human race through sin. When Adam and Eve ate of the wrong tree, the curse of death came upon them. And also, because God had previously given Adam and Eve the dominion, he had actually given them the garden, the whole earth belonged to them. He said, go, it's yours. I've created it for you. Go out, it's your playground. Go be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth, have dominion over the fish in the ocean, over the animals that are on the ground, over every living thing that God had created. He gave dominion to Adam. And when Adam gave up that dominion and chose to eat from the wrong tree, guess what? Not only did he and Eve fall under the curse, but so did the whole earth. And that's why we have an imperfect world. We have, you know, we've got weeds in our garden. We've got, you know, plants that look sickly, everything. But, you know, you got to understand, and I've explained this before. My people understand this, but I'm going to say it again. The curse of death is this. At that moment, God had created everything, and it was teeming with life. But when death came in, everything began to pass away. That's what the curse is. Everything is passing away. Nothing is forever. And when God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't fall over dead right away, did they? No, they didn't. Adam lived for over 900 years. But the curse of death was now at work, and he was slow, because God never created Adam to die physically. But now everything, and we know it today, everything, nothing lasts forever, right? We sometimes feel when we're Marty's age that life is going to be forever. We do. We have this idea that, you know, but as we grow older, we begin to see the curse at work, right? You look in the mirror and you go, whoa, is that really me? Like, come on. Things are passing away. Heard an amen. But you know what I'm saying? We can't deny that it's true. It doesn't matter what it is. Even the things in the earth are passing away. You can plant a tree today and it can be healthy and strong and grow. But eventually the tree begins to die and it begins to pass away. And that's the curse that came on the earth when Adam and Eve sinned. So we see that sickness and disease, we talked about it that week, is only a stage of death. Okay, it's not death, but it is a stage of death. When you suffer from a disease, like think of the word dis-ease. Remember we said that you divide it up. When your body's at ease, it's resting, it's at health. When your organs are not working right, they are stressed. You know, it's not right. And so that's where the word disease comes in. And so you got to remember, disease, sickness, everything that goes on is all because of the curse. It came in through the curse. And it's just one stage that is leading us to passing away. Everybody still on board? Make sense? Okay, so that's what we saw from the first week. So it's just a stage of death. Or in the natural, wrote it down this way, it's a breaking down of the physical body. I mean, any doctor will tell you that. When your body begins to break down, and age is the natural process of aging is it just starts to get worn out. You know, it's like an old shoe. After a while, you got holes in it, and you can put patches on, put a new heel on it, new laces in it. But, you know, that is what is happening in our natural world, because this curse is still very much in effect. This is very true. None of us in this room are denying that. And all of us that are born of the flesh, and I sure hope we have all been born of the flesh. Nobody was hatched out of an egg, or, you know, we all came into this earth through the same avenue. We were born of the flesh. If you were born into this world in the flesh, you were born into this curse. You couldn't stop it. You had no control over it. You were born into that curse, and the curse is death, and the death came from Adam and Eve, and it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. And I don't know of anybody that has lived from the beginning till now. Anybody here know of someone who's still alive? No. And some live longer, some live shorter, but the curse is in effect. But the good news that we saw the first week was this. That is not God's will for you, or even for Adam and Eve, or anybody else that was born, lived and died in between. In fact, the Bible tells us that God's greatest enemy is what? Death. He hates death. You know why? Because he's life. It is exactly opposite of what he is. He hates death. So therefore, if God hates death, we came to the conclusion that he hates sickness and disease as well. It's just a part of death. Just as much as you would hate a disease in your child's body. You know, you don't hate the child, you hate the disease. That's how God sees sickness and disease. It's a stage of death. But God's will is for all of us to be well. It was man himself who chose this way. You know, we can't blame God for the curse of death. God didn't bring this into being. Man chose it. And I know many of us here are thinking, and this is the first thing I want you guys to understand this morning, in understanding the full message that I want to preach this morning. I know some of you are thinking, okay, God didn't bring it in. Man chose it. Couldn't God surely have done something? He had the power to fix it. Man chose it. And there's one thing that you need to know about God, and you need to learn this before you can understand any of what's going on and why. Because we reason, why would you let this happen, God? Why did that happen? Why didn't you do something here? You got to understand one thing about our Heavenly Father, and it is this. It is in his dealings with man. That's me and you. He has given you and me a free will. And that is the one thing that our Heavenly Father will never violate. Never. He cannot. He has made us free. That's what freedom is. Free to choose. He will let you choose hell, even though his heart is crying all the way. He can do nothing to stop you if that's what you've chosen for you. And just like Adam chose, he told him ahead of time, don't eat, because you will die. And Adam chose, Eve chose to eat, not because God made them. And so because it was of their own free will, there's nothing he could do to stop it. Because if God would not have given you and I a free will, we'd be no better than robots, but God wanted children. Just like we have children, we cannot control their wills. We might be able to discipline them and raise them and say, okay, you do that and I'm going to beat you. But honestly, we cannot make them do anything of their own. Like, we cannot control their wills. They all have a will of their own. And anybody that's raised children, let me hear a big amen. They will do things because you force them. But their wills you cannot touch. It is something that is sacredly our own. And we have the option to choose. Amen? And that's why God says, I set before you this day life and death. Choose life that you may live. That's what he's begging us to do. Please choose life. Because if you choose death, I can't stop it. Because I have given you, we've been made in God's image. Nobody could make God do anything. God has a free will. He created us because he willed us as children. Nobody forced God to have children. He had a free will just like he's created us. And when we think of ourselves as in the image and likeness of God, that's how we have to see ourselves. We're a free agent. We have a will to choose right. I shouldn't say right from wrong. Life from death. That's a whole nother sermon. So even today, this morning, wherever you are, you have the freedom to choose. You know, we make choices every day in our lives. Choices are, oh my goodness, should we buy the red one or the blue one or the brown one or the black? Sometimes I wish there wasn't so many choices, especially for women. We have a real hard time choosing. Even a menu, you sit down in a restaurant and you're going through the menu and it's like, man, I just don't know what I want. What do I want? And you ask your husband, and I don't know what you want. Like, you know, this freedom to choose can cause a lot of problems, you know. But even today, like I say, we still have a free will to make all kinds of choices. We even have the free will to choose this, to believe God's word on physical healing or reject it. I set before you this day life and death. You choose. You make a choice. So let's forget about all that you've heard about healing and all the crazy stuff that we heard about faith healing. And, you know, let's go to the Word of God. We need to see exactly what God's Word says about it, because that today is what I choose to believe. I'm not going to choose to believe what Aunt Susie suffered with or even my own self or my family. I need to know, what do you say about it, God? I want to believe that, not my experiences, not your experiences, or in general, the experiences of the church. Man had chosen death, going back and speaking about Adam. He was trapped into death by his own sin. He was trapped into this curse of death. And there, I'm going to say this, there was nothing he could do to get himself out. Not a thing. You know why? Because he had broken the law, he had sinned, and the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, had Adam paid his dues to sin, he would have had to die, but he would have been lost forever. So there's no way man can pay for his death. No way, because he's gone forever. So God so loved us that he sent Jesus to the earth in a physical body. It had to be a physical body. Do you know that you cannot remain on the earth outside of a physical body? Some people think there's spirits floating around. That isn't true. In order to come to the earth and remain on the earth, you have to have a body. Jesus can't be here because he has not got a physical body anymore. He had to leave because after his death, he got a glorified body, which is a different kind of body. You cannot remain on the earth. You cannot operate. And even the enemy himself is a spirit. He has no body. And in order to do anything in the natural, he needs a body. So he uses people. Just like God uses people, he uses your body. Your body gives you the right. Your physical body gives you the right to remain on the earth. As soon as that body shuts down, you leave. Because you cannot stay here outside of a body. So if somebody tells you that there's, you know, the spirit of your uncle, whatever, is floating around somewhere, that is not true. The scriptures prove that in many places. So Jesus came in a physical body. just like you and just like me. He was born into this world through the flesh, through his mother, Mary. And we saw from the first week that while Jesus was on the earth during his last 3 years, when he first began really his ministry, that he went everywhere. And what did he do? What was the main thing Jesus did? Anybody here knows anything about the Gospels and has read or heard anything about the Gospels? What did Jesus do? He went around healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, just bringing life to wherever he went. You could not come into the presence of Jesus without receiving life of some sort. If you were lame, you walked. If you were blind, you saw. If you were deaf, you could hear. That's what Jesus did. We saw from Acts 10:38 where the Bible tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So this is a big thing to God. Can you imagine? He's giving his son instructions. Okay, I want you to go down there, son, now put on a flesh body. And this is your job. This is what I want you to do. Heal everybody that's sick. Now, we said this about that. All that came to Jesus, and we said there was multitudes. There wasn't one person that was turned away. Not one. Everyone got healed. It didn't matter what the problem was. And I said this. Do you know that amongst those multitudes, let's talk thousands here, there was many people that were extreme sinners. I'm sure there was adulterers. There was, come on. And anytime you have thousands of people in one, you got all kinds of people. You got murderers, robbers, thieves, and Jesus never asked a question. He never ever said to one person, well, I don't know, let's see your track record. Bring your track record up here and then I'll see whether you can have healing. No. It says he healed them all, asking no questions, demanding nothing of them. He healed them all. Not one was turned away. Not one. All you had to do to get healed was come. No one was questioned. Nobody was given any penance ahead of time to do and then come back tomorrow. Repent for your sins and then I might heal you. Come on. This is some of the ideas we have in the church. Well, you don't deserve to be healed. Why would God heal you? Goodness sakes. Look how you live. We have no idea of the heart of God, how much he loves us just the way we are and wants us well. Now, I know that there are many Christians who believe this fact, that healing has passed away. When Jesus left the earth, he just came for a season and healed people. Because since he's gone, there's not that much going on. And the only reason, so they reason it, and the only reason Jesus healed all those people when he was on the earth was to prove that he was God. And bless God, he did that. Because nobody else can heal like that. Do you understand? So people really believe that. They believe this was proving, Jesus was proving who he was. And that was why he did all the miracles. And since he's gone, obviously he must have proved it. So there's no reason for miracles anymore. But you know what? That's not true. First of all, the scripture says in John chapter 6, first scripture, verse 38, and in many other places, we're just going to read one, Jesus says this over and over again. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He came down not to prove he was God, but to show us the will of our Father. What is the will of someone? It's who you are. He came to show us who his Father was. And in doing so, he was saying, look, my Father wants you well. I'm doing his will. He sent me to heal you. He sent me to raise you up. He sent me to give you life, to give you a new limb, to open up your blind eyes. This is the will of my Father. It's not my will. It's his that I've come here to do. So to think that he came to prove that he was God was not true at all. That's our way of trying to rationalize why we don't see healing in the church today. So we come up with all of these analogies, not based on scripture, but based on reason. Which is usually wrong. Jesus healed all because it was his Father's will. So we established very clearly in the first week healing is the will of God. Never one time did Jesus ever look up to heaven and pray the prayers that we sometimes pray. Oh, Father, if it be your will, would you heal this one? Not one time did he look and pray. Not once. What did he do? People came to him. He simply laid his hands on them. He maybe spoke. He did something. But he never one time in the scriptures did he pray. Say, oh, Father, if it be thy will, let's heal this little one. No, not once. He just released healing. Sickness and disease could not stand in the presence of Jesus. And do you know why? And you need to get a picture of this. I'm trying to paint pictures in your mind today because these pictures are going to help you with understanding how healing works and you know, just form a picture that gives you something to fall on, something to think on, other than trying to reason things, which, like I said earlier, is usually wrong. No death can stand in the presence of Jesus. No sickness, no disease. Why? John chapter 1 tells us that in Jesus was life. Simple as that. In Jesus was life. Sickness and disease is a stage of death, right? And death, listen carefully, is just the absence of light. Just like darkness is the absence of light. So, how do you get rid of the dark? You light a candle. You bring in the light, right? You don't chase the darkness out and then bring in the light. No, you come in with the light and the darkness flees. That's the same way with life and death. Jesus was life. He came into contact with death. Death had to go. Just expels it. So you got to understand that. Get that picture. Jesus wasn't delivered. That's why he didn't have to pray. He was life. And as soon as you came to him, the life was immediately drove out the death. You couldn't come to Jesus without getting healed. It wasn't a matter of whether he wanted to release it. He was life. He has no death to give. He couldn't cover up his life and say, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to let you have the life. It's who he was. Life. And this life was the light of men. So remember this, when life comes into contact with death, I don't care if it's sickness and disease, that's just a stage of death. That's a little drop of death, right? Because if it's not looked after, it will lead to death, even a common cold. They say if your body and your immune system doesn't cut in, you will die from a common cold. Thank God, God made an immune system in our bodies to fight. But life will always dispel death, just like light will always dispel darkness. Always. So when life comes into contact with death, life always wins. Right? It overpowers it, just like light always overpowers darkness. But wait, Jesus did not just come to show us a glamorous display of God's power. Because that's what some people think. Whoa, look at God. Look at who he is. So that we could know his will for us. We said it in the second week, and this is where we're going now. I'm going to go back and recap. Second week, I said Jesus came not just to demonstrate and show us God's will, but to make the will a reality. Okay? I mean, it's one thing to know, oh, this is God's will, but I know God wants me healed, but I'm not healed, and I don't know how to get there. Jesus came not only to show it to us, but to do the will of the Father. I've come to do, to finish what God has sent me to do. Make it a reality. Jesus fulfilled God's desires. He made it real. He made it a fact, a truth. We saw last week that Jesus has made our healing not just a desire in God's heart, but a reality. And not just for those who were fortunate enough to come into his presence when he was walking on the earth. Because a lot of people think that, well, if Jesus was on the earth today, bless God, we'd all be healed. Jesus said in John chapter 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it in abundance. The same life that animated through Jesus' body when you came into contact with him and healed all, not one left sick, he gave you and I the same life. I am come that you might have life. That's the key. How did he do this? How did he give us this life? Where is this life? We think of eternal life as, oh, someday in the sweet by and by, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. That's eternal life. That is not. That is just the tip of what we have. Had Jesus simply left the earth the same way he came, none of us would have this life, right? He would have left us all in the same shape as he found us. Sick and dying. And you know, we talked about that too. I said, you know, we say that, oh, today there's more disease, it's rampant, it's blah, 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 because of our diet and because of, you know, I mean, all of the additives in our food and, I mean, the preservatives. And I said, you know, it really, I mean, I'm not knocking eating well. There's a place for that. But if that's really what you believe, then why were those people sick back then? And there was lots of them. They had no preservatives in their food. They ate healthy diets because there was no such thing as the stuff we eat today. And yet sickness and disease was just as rampant. That tells us that the root of it is sin. It's not diet. And I said this as well. If you didn't get sick from what you eat, what makes you think you're going to get well from what you eat? I mean, don't knock a good, like I say, don't take this the wrong way. But when you're talking about a terminal illness, or you're talking about something that you can't seem to overcome, your diet is not going to cut it. Sickness and disease is a spiritual problem, which affects the physical body. So if Jesus had left the same way as he came, we would all still be sick and dying. But he didn't do that, did he? Before he left the earth, he became your substitute. Jesus didn't just die for us. I did a message on this probably a year and a half ago. He didn't just die for you, Diane. He died as you. And there's a big difference. You know, because many people say, oh, Jesus died for my sins. No, he died as me. He took my place. So if Jesus died your death, Marty, are you going to die again? How many deaths do we have to go through? Are we like cats? We have nine lives? No, we died in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if Jesus died as us, then that means you, if you're in Christ, you already died. We look at that and we think, because, you know, in the natural, our way of thinking is that we are alive, we're young like Marty, and as we get older, we're getting closer to death. We're going towards death. But you know, the opposite is exactly true in the Bible. We already died. We ought to be becoming more and more alive. But that is not the perception the body of Christ has. But that has to change. You have got to see this as it really is in order for you to attain to the healing and the health that God has already made provision for you in your life. And that's a hard thing to do. Because if we're looking around in the world for this, you're not going to find it. You're going to be very discouraged. The only place you're going to see these truths are in the Word of God. And we need to keep our focus on the truth, which is God's Word. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I know it's not easy. That's where the battle and the fight of faith comes in, because we're so tempted to believe what we see around us, what we hear. We got to keep our eyes on God's truth, God's Word. So Jesus became our substitute. He became who you are, a sinner, all of us. Anybody here that's perfect and never sinned? Come on, show of hands. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So there's no point in looking around at each other and comparing. Because who you are is really determined largely by how you were raised and what you went through in your life. And you can't start accusing or blaming or comparing, which we love to do. We love to find someone who's worse than we are. Oh, look at that person. My goodness. You know why we do that? Because it makes us come out shining. We love to find people who are worse than we are. But we hate it when somebody looks holier than thou. It looks like they're way better than we are. That's because it, you know, doesn't make us feel very good. Crazy. Human nature is crazy. So Jesus became who you are, who I am. None of us is any different. A sinner. Under the control of the power of this curse that's in our life, that's all around us, the curse of death. In other words, everything is passing away. Everything's going south. Or maybe north. I don't know. It's passing away anyways. And Jesus took our place in that. He took all of the pain and the punishment that every one of your sins deserved. Now, what was a part of that pain and the punishment? Sickness and disease is a stage that leads us to death. Blow after blow, the Bible tells us. He paid off one sin after the other. He took in his own body sickness, every stage of death. All the consequences that your sins deserved, that you should have paid for in your own body, he took it into his own. He became your substitute as an offering for your sin. He took every disease, every sickness, every stage of death, even mental health. He took your suffering, your grief, your sorrow, all of it. He carried it at the cross. All of all of our sin, the consequences, he suffered for us. If you don't believe me, Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne. Surely. In other words, when the Bible says surely, that means without a doubt, he is born. What does the word born mean? Carried away. Born means to, when you born something, you carry it away. Surely he has carried away our what? Sickness. He has carried our sorrows. How many, you know, life is filled with sorrows. It really is. You look at some people's lives and you just got to weep for them. You think, how did you even live under all of that? But you know what? What we've done is we've turned that into a noble thing. Well, bless God, I just offer it all up for Jesus. Jesus doesn't need it. He did enough suffering for you. He did it so you could be free of all that pain. Don't be embarrassed to be living a happy life and having everything together and not having any pain in your body. Sometimes we think, wow, if my pain's greater than yours, that makes me greater than you. Because look at me, I'm suffering. That is ridiculous. That's like, if you ever saw your siblings arguing over who had more pain, you as a parent would think something is really wrong with this picture. And the one who had the most pain was the greatest of the two. Do you know that's how we act in the church? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. I have pain. And so those who don't have anything wrong, you know, I've heard my own children say that. I remember one of my sons had gone away right after he left home, and he got involved in the youth group. And they were all sharing one night, and it was a great time, sitting around and sharing their story. And Justin said, when it came to me, Mom, I was embarrassed to say anything because I had no problems. I didn't know what to say. He said they were coming from homes of abuse, and some had diseases, and some had, then it was my turn. And one story, he said, was more fantastic than the next. And now it's my turn. He said, I was embarrassed. He says, I have nothing to say. Let's not be embarrassed. Let's give glory to God. You know what? Jesus has given me a great life. He's healed me. He's keeping me healthy. He's given me a great family. Oh my goodness. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. Why are we ashamed of the goodness of God in our lives? We think that, I guess because I've got it so easy. So I guess I mustn't be much of a person. I don't know what this stinking thinking is, but it's got to change. I'm so off my notes. Okay. Isaiah 53. I said in verse 4, he suffered for us. He became our substitute. He took all the sickness. It doesn't matter how big the sickness or how little even your hangnails, he took on the cross so that you don't have to have it. Jesus was wounded, verse 5 says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment needful for your peace and your well-being was laid upon him, and with his stripes we what? Will be healed? No, it says we are healed. So Jesus made a reality, God's desire for his people to be healed and well, a reality. How? Through the cross. He didn't just die for our sins. Sickness and disease was a part of the process of death. And he delivered you from death by dying your death. Now, let's deal with, well, you know, and you know what? After Jesus did all that, I'm going to say something and add something here that's important for us to understand. Because it's important for us to understand that in order to understand yourself and how we receive this. After Jesus suffered all of the pain of the punishment of sin, and the Bible says he became sin. He became you on that cross. He was still alive. Wasn't he? He didn't die. He didn't die. It wasn't until Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, into your hands I now commit my spirit. Then it says, he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And we saw last week where Jesus came and he said, lo, Father, I have come to do your will, to fulfill the desire of your heart. And when Jesus cried, it is finished, he hung his head. And believe me today, it is finished. We're not waiting anymore for God to heal us. Jesus isn't healing people today. He's not saving people. He finished it at the cross. It is finished. Therefore, you choose. You choose. What are you going to believe? He died as you, and he died as me. And the reality of this is you died with him. And here's the greatest part. When Jesus rose, you rose with him. You understand? Okay, what has this got to do? Why is this so exciting? You arose with God, completely forgiven. Why? Because he paid for it. You know what? When Jesus paid for your sickness and disease by becoming sick, he went straight down to death with it. Do you know when he arose, he didn't have that sickness in his body anymore. And you arose with him, and neither do you. You arose with him. He died as us. Listen very carefully. You can write this down, help you to remember some of the things I'm saying here today. He died as us. He died our death. Why? So that we could be raised as him and live his life. Do you understand that? We are to look back at our old life and say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm living in a new life, his life. I have the right to. I died. He died that old life for me. I want his life. And remember I said we as Christians think that, oh, God died to give us life. But I said, you need to go further with it. He died to give us his life. You want to live his life? Can you imagine the life that Jesus is living? Do you think he's ever sick? Do you think he's has any lack in this life or where he's at? No. And you have that life. That's why Jesus said, I came to give you life. And life abundantly. It's not just to go to heaven someday. No. It's for the here and now. Jesus bridged that gap. He is the bridge. We couldn't go up there. He had to come down to us and give us life. How? By going through our death, dying our death. We are free. John, we were raised that we could live his life. And to all of us who believe in this sacrifice, because Jesus was the last sacrifice, and to those of us who believe it, we receive this life as a gift. We can't earn it. We can't be good to deserve it. None of us deserves this kind of life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says this, as he is, so are we. Where? Not in heaven, in this world. We are free. Listen, you guys. In the church, you have been set free from the fear of death. A lot of people are afraid of death. They don't understand it. Why are we free? Because Jesus already died our death. Do you know that in the Bible, it never talks about a Christian as dying? It talks about them as falling asleep. We are free from the fear of death and all of the stages that lead to death in Christ. And you know, there are many of us here today that raise our eyebrows at this truth that we're set free from death. And I want to explain it in the light of truth. Because most of us are thinking at this statement, yeah, but aren't we all going to die someday? You just said earlier that everybody is going to die. Aren't we going to pass from this life? Well, the answer is, if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back in the meantime, yes, we will. But how is it then that we are free from death? But you know what? We will pass from this life, but we will die like Jesus. You know, there's a difference. Now, I mean, Jesus had a horrible death, right? Because he became your sin. I'm not talking about all the pain and the suffering, but I am referring to John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. You turn there if you got your Bibles. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said this, therefore, does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Okay, what's Jesus saying? No man, he says, takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to pick it up again. This have I received of my Father. Jesus was life. He made everything in this world, even made you. There was nothing and no one, no thing that could take his life. Nothing. He was life. He created the thing that would be trying to take it from him. Do you understand that? And he says, no man can take my life. No man. No thing. No demon. No disease. No sickness. Nothing can take my life. I lay it down and I have power to take it again. And I'm going to tell you, the life that Jesus is and was is in you. So how do we bring this all together in our thinking? You have the power over your own life, not God. We think, oh, you know, when your time is up, it's up. No, it's not. Your time is up when you say it's up. And when you understand this whole understanding of Christ's death and resurrection, you realize the power. Jesus didn't take the power. He gave you the power. How do you have the power? Because of the life he placed in you. You have the power because the life in you is greater. Greater is he that's in you than he, the death that's in the world. You got the power. No one, no man, no demon, no thing can take your life. Now, does that mean we never die? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Jesus was just saying, when you're ready, when you're saying, okay, I had enough in this world, I'm going to lay me down and I'm going home. And we know that's true. I know of people that's how they died. They even decided what day. Well, let's just call the family together, say goodbye, have a last great big banquet. I'm going upstairs, have a good one. Go upstairs, lay down on the bed and give up the ghost. That is God's way. He never wants you to die of a sickness and disease. You've been delivered from that. You do have the power to lay down your life when you feel it's over, when you feel you've done your work on the earth. You know, I mean, there comes a time where you just want to go, I'm tired. And then you lay down. Nobody can steal your life unless you will, because we have that free will, unless you willingly give it up. And a lot of people don't believe that. They figure Jesus took back the power from the devil. You see, the devil has in the world? No. People do not have the power. People are dying all the time, prematurely. Children are dying. People are dying young because they don't have that power. But we have life. Jesus came to give us life. If you have the Son, First John 5 tells us, then you have that life. And you have been given back the power of life and death in your own life. So when you have sickness and disease going on in your body, it's just a stage of death. It does not belong in your body. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in John 17:4, Jesus makes the statement, Lord, keep them. Talking about his church, he's praying to his Father. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't operate. That means we are not subject to the world's system. What is the world system? Everything is passing away. Now, you might feel like you're being proud by standing up and saying, I'm not subject to that anymore. I'm on my way to life. Jesus stopped it at his death. And now I am risen in him. Jesus isn't dying anymore. He ain't coming back to die for your sins. As he is, so are you. You're on your way to life. Life. And life ought to be getting greater and greater and greater as you move away from the curse. That is the truth. It may not be a fact yet in the church, but I believe that God is raising up preachers, pastors, teachers that are not afraid to speak the word of God, the truth. No matter, I don't care about what's going on around me. You get your eyes off of your family, your friends, your cousins, whoever, and get it onto the word of God. We, for far too long, have been basing the truth of God upon our circumstances, upon experiences of others. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, if you didn't believe me there, the scripture says, for the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Spirit of life is in you if you have Jesus. And that makes you free from death. Remember I said death cannot stand. When you walk into a room, if you knew who was in you, if you knew that life, everything, you would dispel all evil because of the life. Everything that is death should flee. Just like when you light a candle in a dark room, darkness flees immediately. It doesn't stand there and say, I wonder if I should go. Turn up the light, you know. Turn up the light that's in you. If you knew what was in you. In other words, the life of Jesus, it's not your life, it's the life of Jesus in you that sets you free from death. But if you don't know that life's in you, because it's by faith that we use this life that's in us, if you don't know that it's in you, you will die just like the rest of the world. Because you can't have faith in something you don't understand. You can't be claiming something you don't know about. Because everything in God's kingdom operates by faith. In other words, the life of Jesus is in you. It sets you free from all death. Because the Bible teaches us that if you sin, you will die. 1 John chapter 2, another scripture that teaches us the same thing. It tells us that we have passed from death into life. Not just when we go to heaven. That's the problem with the church. We've always been teaching that, someday, you know, we're just going to suffer in this world and just get by. And in the sweet by and by, someday, when we get to heaven, it's all going to be good. And God is going, phooey, why would I make you suffer in this world? Why? If Jesus has paid off our sin, if he took all sickness and all disease and put it under his feet forever, why are we sick? Why are we walking around with it? Why? It's like somebody going in and paying off your debt that you owe at the credit union. And they love you. And they think, you know, I'm going to do this as a gift. I'm going to go in. I'm going to pay off all Vaughn's bill, all her credit cards. So Vaughn goes in. So Vaughn goes in. And they tell her, listen, Vaughn, a friend of yours came in and just, in fact, not only did they pay it off, but they deposited, because that's what God's grace is. They deposited $1 million in your checking account. Now, Vaughn goes away and she is now thinking, wondering, rationalizing, reasoning, losing sleep over it. How am I going to pay off that debt? And I'm thinking, don't you get it? It's done. It's paid. Why do you want to pay off a debt that's already been paid? It's like trying to pay twice for a meal at a restaurant. A friend goes up and pays for you. Then you get up there and say, no, I'm paying. They say, no, it's already paid for. And that's what we're doing. Jesus paid for your sickness. Why are you trying to pay for it again? Right? I mean, it's to the guy who's trying to bless you, they don't feel very good about it. If they're trying to bless you and pay your, I don't care if it's a cup of coffee or a nice meal, and they want to bless you, and you get up there, and your attitude is, no, I'm paying for my own. That person feels kind of like, well, gee, you know, I was trying to be nice, and they didn't receive it from me. And that's how God feels. Man, I've done everything, and you don't want to receive it? So we have passed from death into life. We're no longer of this world. Even though we're in the world, Jesus no longer is of this world either. And is he in the world? Yes, he is, in you and I. His life is in us. And it, like I said earlier, it simply means, and you get this thought in your mind, we are no longer, because of the life that lives in us, which is Christ and his life, we are no longer subject to the death and the dying and the curse. We've been delivered from it. That is all around us. We're not. All the stages of death that the world is subject to, because, simply because of God's life in us. And you know, this life that's in you, it's huge. It's not this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. My goodness. It's much greater than this little light of mine. That makes it sound like you got this little tiny glimmer on the inside of us. It's huge. When you walk into a room, demons tremble, and they just hope you never find out what you got on the inside of you. Because they'll just flee in terror. Just like they did when Jesus came. Remember how many times did Jesus walk up to somebody who was demon-possessed, and the demons shrieked and screamed out and said, Jesus, thou Son of God, what have we got to do with you? Have you come before our time? You come to get rid of us before our time. The demons knew they had a certain amount of time, and then the life was going to, they were gone. Don't be afraid of them. The life in you, they run in terror with their tail between their legs. So it's not just this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No, no, it's huge. It does not do justice to the life of God that's in us. This light in us, this life is so bright, it is so blinding. It literally eats up all death and darkness. You got to see that. Paint pictures in your mind of what's in you. It helps you when you come up against darkness. Because you're going to come up against it, because it's all around us. There is so many times in our natural state, we feel so helpless and hopeless. When we think there's nothing we can do. We can't stop any circumstances. There's just so much going on. What can I do? Nothing I can do. And then we cry and we, but you know, we must come to know that the answer and the help is all on the inside of us. That life is there. Choose. And the life that's in you is absolutely there, no match for all the darkness that's around. We know how quickly the darkness will flee. But you got to get a picture of this life, this light. It'll devour every evil. It'll expel every disease. It will flow through you and bring life to others. Just see it. When you lay hands on the sick, you don't got to say anything. Just know that life is in you and it is imparted through the laying on of hands. That's why the Bible says, lay hands on the sick. It doesn't even say pray for them. It says, just get that power out. You see, God wants us to flow in this life. Why? Because he wants you and me and all of us to bring life to others. He wants it to flow. He wants to establish his kingdom. That's what we've been talking about. He wants it to grow with healthy, whole people who are excited and going out and just letting it flow to their families and friends and everybody else. Like, okay, come on, let's lay hands on you. Let's get rid of this pain. But because of what we've been taught, because of the whole attitude of it all, we don't do that because we don't know about this life that's in us. We don't understand it. God wants to bring his life to our own bodies and then to others. But you know, I know there's people here maybe today or listening through the internet that are thinking, yeah, but so-and-so, you know, she was a sister of mine or a brother or whatever, a family member. She was a believer and he or she died. Come on. Everybody has family members that have died who were believers. And they had, if what I'm saying today is true, that life was also in them. How come they died? And those are questions we reason. And because of that, like I say, other people's experiences, we decide what we're going to believe. Why do young people, Christians, die before their time? Why do people get sick and die? Why do they die of cancer? If this life and what I'm saying is really true is on the inside of us. And you know, the Bible gives us only one reason. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. In closing, we're going to have to close here. Here the Apostle Paul is teaching and speaking to the church at Corinth about the communion, which is what we see here today, table. He's speaking to them about how to partake of the communion table properly. Now, we know that the communion represents Jesus' death, his body that was broken, beaten for our sin, our sickness and our disease, and the blood that was shed to wash away all of our sins. So here the Apostle Paul is speaking to them on how to partake of this communion or these emblems in a worthy manner. And he says this in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak, many are sick among you, and many have died for this reason, because you have partaken of the emblems unworthily." Now, my point is, and what I'm trying to answer here, is why are so many of us still sick and many of us are dying in the church of sickness and disease? And it's very true. And I believe it's because this scripture right here has been totally misunderstood, totally misinterpreted. In other words, it's been understood backwards and has kept many of us in the body of Christ sick, weak, and many of us have already died. Now, I'm talking about believers here. Now, you know, the fact remains that if you had loved ones that were believers and have gone on, that doesn't mean they're very much in the presence of the Lord. No, don't misread what I'm saying here. I am talking about life here and now. I'm talking about not getting to heaven someday, but I'm talking about you living heaven on earth. Very people don't think that's possible, but it is. So let's go back to the scripture. Most of us have been taught that to partake of this communion unworthily is to partake with unconfessed sin, right? Well, if you have sin, you got to examine your heart. Don't partake if you got sin. Well, honestly, because for that reason, many people are sick, weak, and even die. Well, if that were the truth, I'm going to tell you something for free today. I would never partake of that communion. Because how do I know? And if it's why people are sick and dying, I don't want to have no part of sin. I don't want to add to the problem. Right? You get it? Like, how can that be what that means? Who would partake? Who would have enough guts in this church here today as we hand that out to say, oh yes, I'm worthy. I'm going to partake. Because that's what you're saying when you take the body and the blood, right? You're saying, oh, I guess I'm worthy. And everybody's looking to, oh, she thinks she's worthy. That's not what it means at all. We just read what it meant. Not discerning the Lord's body is partaking unworthily. How many times do we partake of these emblems? We haven't got a clue what we're doing. We just know we're supposed to eat the bread, drink the blood, believe Jesus died for our sins, and away we go. We don't have any expectancy of this doing anything. Why do we even do that? What is it all about? So it's not talking about you or your worthiness. We all know we're unworthy. I'm not lying about it. I'll be the first to raise my hand. To partake unworthily or in an unworthy manner is to partake without discerning the Lord's body. In other words, to take what we've just been talking about, to take for granted or take lightly or not discern at all what Jesus did for you in his body on that cross. And we're going to get into that more next week, where we're going to talk about the very first Holy Communion and how they had to eat. Remember we talked about it before, how the meat had to be burnt. Jesus' body was burnt. We have to do it. That's discerning the body, to see exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you. To do any less is to make a mockery out of the whole thing. It's like you make light of it. Don't ever make light in your heart. Make that huge. I have what I have. I am what I am. All because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He became my substitute. That is partaking, recognizing that you already are healed. recognizing you already are forgiven. I'm not standing up here trying to examine myself for sin. God forbid we'd be here for a month. And so would you. And we'd find all kinds of things. Ooh, I forgot about that one. Could we even remember all the things, the thoughts we thought that were wrong or the words we said? Right, Marty? How long would you be here if you had to drag up everything that you thought you did wrong? Oh, my goodness. We'd have to bring our sleeping bags to church. And then some of us would probably never, ever get to partake, right? So that's not what it means. All of us were unworthy. And Jesus forgave us all. To partake worthily is to give him all the praise, to recognize exactly what he has done for us, to partake of his healing. When you partake of his body, you're partaking of his life, the life that he's put in you, healing, health, wholeness, prosperity, peace, all the good things Jesus died to give you. That's discerning the Lord's body. Now, there are many that didn't discern, and the Bible says for that reason they are weak and they're sick. That just means simply that the people that have died and gone on to be with the Lord, people who have been sick or whatever prematurely, it's only because they did not have the understanding. They did not have the teaching that I'm giving you here today. They didn't know that they could believe Jesus for healing, or they may have heard it once. But you know what? Once is not enough. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. You can hear a message today, and it can be great and wonderful, and you think, oh, you're flying high. But a week later, you wonder, what was that she said last week? You got to keep on hearing it. You got to keep on feeding it. That's why Jesus said, come, eat of me. That meant eat of this understanding, eat of his word. For he who eats of me will never die. And so it's a continuing. That's why we need to have that anticipation. Oh, Lord, every day, find out what his goodness is. Have that time where you just, even if it's 5 minutes, remind yourself who you are, what he's done for you. So that when you are faced, maybe during the day with something that, you know, a crisis, who knows? We never know what tomorrow is going to bring, right? All kinds of things can happen. But you're ready. You're ready because the life in you is greater than anything that can come into your life, no matter what it is. Even death itself has to bow to the life in you. And so if you have loved ones that have gone on, it's only because they didn't understand this truth, because they understood and had faith to believe in Jesus. And you know what? That's all we need. But in order to have heaven on earth, we got to believe what Jesus' body did for us. And we got to walk in it and have faith in it. Amen. And so next week, I want to talk more about how to practically put this into play, how to walk in this and use some scriptures and go through some things. But this morning, we're going to close, and I'm going to call on Lorelei, and we're going to partake of the communion table. But I want you to keep in mind that when we partake of these emblems, we're not just eating a cracker and drinking a little juice.